Good morning. Well, I always feel like I'm an afterthought because I think we had a sermon this morning and we had wonderful praise and worship. So I thank the Lord for that. So Father, I just thank you for this opportunity to share what you put on my heart. I ask that the truth of your word would come forth, and anything that's of me and not of your word would be left behind. I just thank you for all things, give you all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So this is kind of a little different sharing this morning. I'm going to be sharing several different things. They may seem like they're not connected as I go through it, but I think they're connected. Back in September, before I left for my time away, I brought a message on Colossians 3. And what I was thought I was bringing, I apparently brought something different because a lot of people heard one of my side thoughts, and the main message was overshadowed by that, which is wonderful. I always like when the Lord does that. But the reason Colossians 3 has been on my mind is because the first two verses struck me way before last September. And those first two verses are, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And I think he had me focus on these things because I have a mind that wanders a lot. And even when I'm worshiping, even when I'm listening to the message, my mind can take side trips. And so I've learned to have that happen less and listen to the Lord more. But I've had that all my life. And oh, by the way, as I'm getting older, it seems to be increasing. The other thought about setting your mind on things above and not on things of the earth is that the world is bombarding us with all sorts of information. And increasingly, the information we're being bombarded with is further and further and further away from anything that has to do with the truth of the Lord. Because a lot of it is actually meant to make us fearful. I gave a message on that a little bit ago, too. And then the other phenomena that's happening, the denominational church is becoming liberal and progressive. Now, what does that mean? That means that they're more interested in conforming the Word of God to what the world's doing than being led by the Word of God to shape what's happening in the world. And so a lot of us get distracted by all of those thoughts. I know several people that watch different things either on the TV or on the computer where the speaker's whole point is to focus on all of the ups and downs that are happening in the world. And some of it is good, some of it, you know, a conservative speaker, liberal speaker, whatever, but the end result is people are upset. A lot of the conversations we enter into, people are upset. So the tenet of setting your mind on things above becomes more important. And then as a fourth footnote, we're blessed to be here. This fellowship is based on the Word of God. It's not influenced directly by all the forces. Our leaders And most of our folks are mature Christians, and those that aren't mature because of age are becoming more mature because of the Word. So I've been reading a devotional by Charles Haddon Spurgeon called Morning and Evening. He lived in the late 1800s, and he was called the Prince of Preachers. And in his lifetime, he gave thousands of sermons. The devotional, the one I have at home, is written in Old English. For me to share that with you would be difficult. But I recently ordered a modern language version. So when I share from this morning, hopefully it will be more easily accepted. I'm going to share two different days from this. The introduction to this daily devotional is based on two scriptures that Charles Haddon Spurgeon focused on. The first one was for the mornings was from Isaiah 50:14. I'm sure you all just can bring that right to memory. It says, "He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being instructed." And in the evening, and I know many of you do devotions in the evening, "My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips when I remember you on my bed. I meditate on you in the night watches." And the thing that's amazing about Spurgeon to me is he can take a phrase, a half a sentence, a quarter of a sentence, and have a daily devotion from it. So the two that I'm going to share, the one that caught my attention because of some of the other things I'm praying about, but I think it's interesting to think about, is in Exodus 28:38. And I know I don't read the Old Testament that much, so I had no clue what Exodus 28 was about. So I read the whole chapter, and it's about the adornment of the high priest and all the different elements of his robes and his headgear and his ephod. And at the very end of that, in that description, he talks about the iniquity of the holy things. Well, that seems like an odd phraseology. But Spurgeon, and I'm going to read it because I can't paraphrase this easily. "What a veil is lifted up by these words, and what a disclosure is made. It will be humbling and profitable for us to pause a while and see this sad sight. The iniquities of our public worship, its hypocrisy, formality, lukewarmness, irreverence, wandering of heart, and forgetfulness of God, what a full measure we have there." And I'm not saying this in reference to this fellowship. I'm saying this in reference to the church as it is today, because I've been in conventional churches and conventional settings, and a lot of people go through it as a ritual. "Our work for the Lord, its rivalry, selfishness, carelessness, slackness, unbelief. What a mass of defilement is there. Our private devotions, their laxity, coldness, neglect, sleepiness, and vanity. What a mountain of dead earth is there." If we look more carefully, we should find this iniquity to be far greater than it appears. Dr. Edward Payson, an American Congregationalist preacher from the late 1800s, wrote to his brother saying, "My parish, as well as my heart, very much resembles the garden of the sluggard. And what is worse, I find that very many of my desires for the improvement of both proceed from pride or vanity or laziness. I look at the weeds which grow over my garden, and breathe out an earnest wish that they were eradicated. But what prompts that wish? It may be, I walk out and say to myself, what a fine garden I have. That's pride. Or it may be that my neighbors may look over the wall at my garden and delight in it. That's vanity. Or I may wish for the destruction of the weeds because I'm weary of pulling them up. That's laziness. So even our desire and holiness may be polluted by ill motives. But he finishes this little dissertation with the high priest wore on his headpiece, holy to the Lord, which is the end of Exodus. When Jesus bears our sin, he presents before his Father's face not our unholiness, but his own holiness. Oh, for grace to view our great high priest by the eye of faith. So I was very struck by that because even sometimes in my wandering, I'm here wandering. I'm not focused as I should be on exalting the Lord. And let's see. Okay, I'm going to read the other one too, because I have actually three segments to this message, and reading these two devotionals was number one. So bear with me. This is a little more uplifting. Excuse me. This is from January 16th's devotional, which is written for today. And the scripture is Isaiah 41:14. I myself will help you, declares the Lord. This one sounds more upbeat. Imagine him saying directly to you, it is but a small thing for me, your God, to help you. Consider what I've already done. What? Not help you? I bought you with my blood. What? Not help you? I died for you. And if I've done these larger things, won't I do the smaller? Help you? That's the least I will ever do for you. I have done more and will do more. Before the world began, I chose you. I made my covenant for you. I laid aside my glory and became a man for you. I gave up my life for you. And if I did all this, I will surely help you now. In helping you, I am giving you what I have already bought for you. If you had need of 1,000 times as much help, I would give it. You need little compared to what I am ready to give. It's much for you to need, but nothing for me to bestow. Help you? Do not be afraid. If there were an ant at the door of your barn asking for help, it would not ruin you to give him a handful of your wheat. And you are nothing but a tiny insect at the door of my all-sufficiency. I will help you. Oh, my soul, is this not enough? Do you need more strength than the omnipotence of the Trinity? Do you want more wisdom than the Father possesses? Would more love than the Son displays, or more power than the Spirit manifests? Bring your empty pitcher here. Surely this well will fill it. Hurry. Gather up your shortcomings and bring them here. Your emptiness, your afflictions, your needs. This river of God is full for your supply. What else can you desire? My soul, go out in this strength. The eternal God is your helper. And then one of the other gentlemen of his time said, fear not, I am with thee. Oh, be not dismayed, for I am thy God and will still give thee aid. So that's the end of those two readings. The second one was more uplifting. And they struck me because of where I'm going next is our Friday night prayer meeting. But it struck me is that a lot of times we just, oh yeah, my foot hurts, oh, so what? I'll limp around. My leg hurts, my back hurts, my head hurts, whatever. And we really don't think about the sufficiency of the Lord. So I encourage us to maybe start thinking about that. Then I want to share, now I'm changing gears a little bit, but it's still related. In our home meeting for a couple years with COVID, there have been all sorts of fears that we have been exposed to. So we've been trying to share scriptures about not being afraid. And there's several key scriptures. I've shared them here in some of my previous messages. One is 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, 17, and 18. My friend Bob, 3 weeks ago, shared here on Friday night about those scriptures. The other one is Philippians 4, 6, and 7. And we've been talking about them sometimes here on Sunday morning and quite often at home meeting, encouraging one another to be anxious for nothing, to rejoice, to pray without ceasing. But three Fridays ago, or four, I'm losing track because of ice storms and COVID, Bob got up and he shared those scriptures. But see, look, during the readings over those 2 years, we've been reading the Word. It's the written Word. But Bob was sharing the living Word. It became alive to Bob in a special way. And and I wish we recorded Friday nights because what he shared was very powerful. So to me, it was a reminder of the importance of reading the Word and sharing the Word with brothers and sisters and understanding the Word. Because at a time when Bob needed it, the Lord made the Word he had here alive here. And I encourage all of us to study more and join home fellowships if you're not in a home fellowship. And come to Friday nights if you don't come to Friday nights. So the other semi-confession I'm going to make, when I'm here on Sundays, I listen to the message and I make notes. And I do that almost all the time, unless sometimes Don goes at a pace and I just listen. I forget to take notes. It's part of my wandering mind syndrome. But this past Friday night, the Lord kicked me in the pants and had me take notes. And I didn't realize it at the time, but part of the reason was for today. I want to share my notes, and I apologize because of my wandering mind, some folks that shared wandered away. I didn't take notes. But I'm going to share the notes I took to encourage you of the importance of what happens on Friday nights. And Peter and Paul and Wayne were not here. We were elderless. But Jose, so a lot of us pray that things would go well because sometimes the enemy likes to come in and have fun, especially when the elders are away. And so nothing unusual happened other than good stuff. So the worship team was Jose and Vicky. Not Vicky Dross, Vicky Gore. That was our worship team, and it went well. And there were about 14 or 15 people. Even though it was not a nice night, it was a little nippy. And one of the first songs that my brain focused on that I wrote down was Waymaker, Miracle Worker. Powerful song. And then Pat McDonald shared from Psalm 4 about God's promises. And then Vicky Dross shared early in the meeting. Normally she shares at the end of the meeting. And what she shared was she felt the importance of praying for the leaders, Peter, Paul, and Wayne, who weren't here. And somewhere in the scripture it says we're supposed to pray for those guys. So that was a good thing. And then the next song after that, and I'm going through these quickly because I'm just sharing the impressions I had for the night. The next song was Take My Hand, I Will Worship. I will worship. That's a decision. And on Friday night, you know, the folks that are here are into it. They worship. And then Vicky Gore shared about a situation and God's faithfulness shone through the situation. And she was apprehensive and she saw the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God. Teresa read Psalm 42, an encouragement. And then Jose Dross, is that the right word? For Vicky Gore, you will be victorious. To encourage her, she had been victorious in this one instance, and he encouraged her with the word from the Lord, you will be victorious. And then Tim shared, and my mind went left. And it was good. I mean, I made a note of it because it was good, but I don't have enough to tell you. But the point is, Tim encouraged us. That was another encouraging word. And then Jose's next song was, I Will Sing of the Goodness of God. Goodness of God. And then Brad shared on the faithfulness of God in his life. Another word of encouragement. And then Bob Hatch shared, God is for me, not against me. And then Eulene shared Psalm 18, 1 through 3. And I don't have my Bible up here, but it's again, God is for us. And love the Lord. And she encourages us. We say, thank you, Lord. How often do we say, I love you, Lord? And so I was encouraged by that. How often do we say, I love you, Lord? And then Pat shared, prayed for Joan Ludina, who's struggling. And that caught my attention. The next note is, it was a good thing. Gene Fisher shared, and it was about Christmas time, and it was how one of her children had been given a blessing, or she had been given a blessing by one of her children, and that's where my note was a little squiggly. But what an interesting thing. You know, Gene has been given a special gift to minister to children with needs. Not many people can do that. Then Tim had a prayer of encouragement. And then Brad had a prayer for Linda, my wife, for healing because she was struggling, recovering from her COVID booster and had been ill for almost 2 weeks. And so normally on Friday nights, it's another confession, I sit here and I have my mind wander somewhat, and I don't usually do or say anything. I just kind of observe. But the way Friday night went, the Lord had me paying more attention because I was taking notes. Thank you, Lord. And when Brad prayed for Linda, and this was, I mean, the meeting was over. People were packing their instruments up, walking out. I came up to the microphone, and I felt it was important that I share something. And the something that I wanted to share was that several years ago on Friday night, we praised a lot, and then we prayed a lot of times for people in our fellowship that needed prayer. And we've kind of gotten away from that to some degree. And the Lord impressed upon me that there are many people in our fellowship that need prayer. The one that came to mind Friday night, on number one on my list, whom I never think about, forgive me, Lord, is Matt Iatritis. He was a faithful member here for decades. And because things have changed and he doesn't visit, how often do we think of Matt and or his family? And but there are others that are, that have major medical issues. And I just want to encourage us all to remember them more. And when we pray for folks, remember them. But my prayer for this morning is that we would all use the Word of God more, learn the Word of God more, and be in fellowship more, and encourage each other more. Because if you listen to the message of what I shared for Friday night, some of the what was shared was prophetic, but quite a few of the sharings were sharings of encouragement. So, that was what the Lord gave me for this morning. And so I'd just like to pray for those who are not here. And I can't name them because I don't remember names well. But we have probably at least a half a dozen or more brothers and sisters. You know, Pat had talked about Joan Ladina. Avis, of course, is kind of housebound now. Gary and Dodie aren't here. Dan's wife, Joan. Linda still needs lots of prayer. And some of us sitting right here need lots of prayer, and we never say anything. But I want to pray for all of those folks. Lord, I just lift them up to you. As I read from Spurgeon, we're just like a little ant, and answering our requests is simple for you. So all of those requests are simple for you, Lord. Even though they may seem huge to us, lifelong illness, devastating diseases, nothing is too difficult for you. If I could sing, I would sing that song. Nothing is too difficult for you, Lord. And I just ask that you would come and we would start to see the miracle of your healing power and your love pouring out more and more on your people. I just give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. Thank you, Lord.